It takes some convincing to get me to recommend any more than a few stops along Spain's south coast. The town of Nerja boasts the balcony of Europe as a gathering place overlooking its Mediterranean cliffs. Tarifa is a quaint springboard for sailing to Morocco. And Gibraltar, with its famous rock, keeps Britain's eyes on the entrance to the Mediterranean. But Spanish tour guides Jorge Roman and Francisco Gloria want us to know that there's more to appreciate and enjoy along the Costa del Sol than what I have nicknamed the crowded Costa del Turismo. Jorge is a native son of Malaga, the main city and airport hub of the southeast coast. And while Francisco Gloria lives in Pamplona in the north, his pride for Spain includes all corners of his country. They join us now on Travel with Rick Steves for a closer look at the coastal region of Andalusia. Jorge, Francisco, welcome.
Well, thank you for hosting us.
Thank you, Rick.
Jorge, you grew up in Malaga, deep in the south of Spain. Now, we think of the south of Spain, and we think of Andalusia, and then we've got the Costa del Sol. I really don't give the Costa del Sol much attention because I think it's a lot of expats. It's just a lot of people from the rainy north of Europe looking for a change of climate, but not a change of culture. What's your assessment of the Costa del Sol, Jorge? And what's the difference between the south of Spain, Costa del Sol, and Andalusia?
Okay, south of Spain is Andalusia and Costa del Sol, both together. Now, Costa del Sol is just a coast from the Strait of Gibraltar to the southern eastmost point of the Iberian Peninsula. That is the Costa del Sol. And if it is taken by the British tourists as they live there as a second residence, also Germans, Dutch people, Irish people, there is a lot over there, and it's just beach resorts.
You know, when I'm down there, I hear local people complaining that there's no Spanish on the menus. It's just English or German or whatever is the dominant expat community. And what I enjoy when I'm driving across the Costa del Sol is tuning into, I think it's called Suncoast Radio. They've actually got a popular radio station for the English-speaking expats down there.
That's right. There are several local little ones, but there are several.
Yeah.
But the capital of Costa del Sol is Malaga, which is a beautiful destination nowadays. You have no idea in the last 25 years how much it has changed, the city of Malaga. Now, the city per se had nothing to do with all the tourists that used to go to the resorts and the beach and spend 15 days with a full board at the hotel with the beach in front and then back and nothing else. Now Malaga is in the top five destination, cultural destination in Spain. That is thanks a lot because of the Picasso Museum when they opened a few years ago over there.
Huh. Now, you know, that's very interesting because I visited Malaga, the big city of the Costa del Sol, mm-hmm. where the airport is and where so many people have timeshare condos and so on. I visited it many years ago, and I felt it was just a place where package European tourists would go, and it didn't have a lot to offer. But then I was just in the south of Spain, and everybody was raving about how Malaga is the exciting new destination. It has a great mayor. The city is well organized. It's doing wonderful investments in itself, and it has the new Picasso Museum. So you're saying Malaga is now worth a more serious look than before?
The last wife of the Baron von Thyssen, Thyssen-Bornemisza Museum in Madrid, she had her own painting collection. She opened her museum in Malaga. The Hermitage opened a branch now in Malaga in the old tobacco factory, which is their national monument. George Pompidou Foundation has a branch in Malaga and one of the best abstract art museums, contemporary art museums in the whole world circuit of that kind of art is in Malaga as well.
That's really quite astounding.
Oh,
Malaga,
yeah.
Which you don't think of as a great art center. So we got to give Malaga another look. Hey, Francisco, Jorge's from Malaga, so he's talking very nice about it. You're from the opposite end of Spain, way up in the north. What do Spaniards think of when they talk about people from Costa del Sol or Andalusia? Is there a generalization they'll make about people of the deep south?
Well, if you go to stereotypes and the bad stereotypes, oh, people from Andalusia, they're always party, fiesta, and they don't work. That's the stereotype. Obviously, that's the joke. But what we think it's Andalusia, it's where the passion of Spain is, where the culture, the deep culture of Spain, the flamenco music, the singing, that is the gypsy culture. So here the Gypsy community really, it's the basis of our culture, our heritage.
So in the United States, people shudder when you hear the word gypsies because that is now considered derogatory and we're supposed to say Roma. What's the story in Spain with the word gypsy?
Well, for us, they are gypsies. What happened is that they came from India, okay? They migrated from India. And when they reached Europe, some went to the north through Romania, Romanis, Romans, and the other ones went through Egypt, through Africa, Egypt, Egyptians, gypsies.
Okay, so what do the local gypsies like to have themselves called in Spain?
Gitanos, gypsies.
Gypsies.
So they are gypsies and they're proud to be gypsies. People say bad things about gypsies. For us in Spain, it's like, at least to me, it drives me nuts because they brought the knowledge of all of these incredible cultures into Spain. It was like a moving melting pot that arrived and we were lucky enough to have them here.
You know, I was in Granada, which is a leading city with gypsy community. They're famous for the flamenco and for Sacromonte there, the hill that is inhabited by gypsies historically. And I met a leader of that community. With my local guide, I was able to interview him and I asked him, what do you like to be called? And he said, we're gypsies. We're proud of our gypsy heritage and we call ourselves gypsies. So it's a tricky thing because I don't want to call gypsies Roma against their will in the context of Spain, but a lot of Americans will think that you're being derogatory. So we have to make that very clear. Our guides to the south coast of Spain right now on Travel with Rick Steves are Jorge Roman and Francisco Glaria. In their podcast called Spanish Loops, they talk about the cities and sights of Spain, its traditions and people. You'll find it on Spotify and Facebook, and from a link with this week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. Hey, Jorge, we're talking right now about the many dimensions of the culture of southern Spain, gypsy culture and more. And Andalusia is the province in the south, mostly up in the hills. It's got three great cities, Cordoba, Sevilla, and Granada. It's got the hill towns. And then we've got the Costa del Sol. But along the coast, we have Tormelinas is very famous as a tourist trap.
So it is,
my
yeah.
favorite town is Nerja, N-E-R-J-A.
Yeah.
What do you recommend on the south coast there with all the resorts mixing up with other cities that are not so romantic?
Well, capital city is Malaga, which is one of the cities that you forgot to mention in Andalusia.
Yeah, that's right. See, I'm just trained not to look at Malaga, so that's going to change.
Well, Nerja is a good example that you mentioned, just to see some interesting old caves, what nature can do inside of a mountain. And there's always long lines every day to visit, so it's very demanded, especially among locals. And then another little town could be also Almuñécar, that belongs to the Granada County. The city of Granada is inland, but the county touched the Mediterranean. And for your information, Rick, as well, that part of Costa del Sol, going back like about 10 miles inland, is the only subtropical part in Europe. Hmm. And the production of tropical fruits like mango, avocados, and all that kind of fruit. And they are really proud of it. And it's a big, big production right now.
But the interesting historical thing was a long, long time ago, pirates terrorized the coast and scared the local people inland. And I've learned that for almost every town on the coast, there's a sister town up in the mountains, which was where they went for refuge. Nerja has a town inland from it, for example, that's quite historic.
Frigiliana, yeah, it's called Frigiliana nearby, yeah. And it's like up in the hill, you can see the coast from the hill, but from the coast, you can hardly find that town. You see many little white dots in the mountains, and those are tiny little towns that they are up there. Right now, everybody rents a car when you go there, and you just try to find and discover spots that maybe some people has discovered before, and it's not so spoiled as the mainstream of that tourism that you're talking about.
Right.
You know, I call them flip-flop tourists.
Flip-flop tourists, yeah. Well, that's why most people, if you did a tally, just a statistical analysis of why are people on the Costa del Sol, they're not there to learn about the history. They're there to enjoy the beach, which is great. They're beach resorts, and that's basically what it is.
But Rick, you can combine both. You can go to the beach if you want to, just take a couple of days and then go and immerse yourself in a day trip in the local culture.
And that's a very good approach to the Costa del Sol. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Jorge Roman and Francisco Glaria. Francisco's website is travelingsteps.es, and Jorge's website is travelingwithjorge.wordpress.com. And Jorge is spelled J-O-R-G-E. Hey, Francisco, I've been going to Spain for 40 years, and bullfighting has always been a part of a visit, whether you choose to go to a bullfight or not. Who's attending bullfights these days?
Well, less and less people. We're beginning to see a very small young generation starting to go again to bullfighting. It's a very, very controversial topic around the world, obviously, but also in Spain. Right now, I would say we have 50% of population hates bullfighting. 10, 15% can care less. It's like, whatever. And the rest, about a 35, 40% of population are pro bullfighting.
Huh. Are matadors still celebrities?
Oh, yes. The good ones are top rock stars. I mean, they are like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, but they're all men. Are they considered sexy?
The thing is that they're all young, buffed, and they all have internet, Facebook, Instagram, and they all post, strangely enough, shirtless.
Shirtless?
Oh, yeah. They're very good looking.
Jorge, what's your take on that? Because I've had women guides in Andalusia that just swoon over the matadors. I go into the bullfight museum and they just gaze at the statues of the matadors as if they're looking at their dreams come true. Yeah. So there is this mystique about the matador in their suit of lights.
Yeah. I believe that there is like an internal fight. Let's leave gender apart, okay? Whether it's a man or a woman, just admiring a person that is confronting such a beautiful animal as the bull is just by itself. But at the same time, to be honest, with all the years I've been guiding now, I still haven't found a correct answer. But that doesn't happen to the foreigner that doesn't know anything about it. It happens locally here as well.
Right. I think whether you like bullfighting or not, it's fascinating to go to the bullfighting museums at the historic arenas. And of course, I think the best one, well, there's one in Ronda and there's one in Sevilla.
Correct.
You don't need to go to both of them, but would you say those are the best two bullfighting museums?
Actually, there's one in Madrid as well. Madrid, and also in Pamplona as well. Look, if you want to try a bullfight one day, like a food that you never tried and you need to see or to taste if you like it or not, try one day a bullfight. Not everything is blood and killing an animal, which I don't like it killing. It's a sacrifice. And just around these big arenas, the ambience, the bars that they are around, and you can see the big heads of famous bulls.
Yeah.
And then you have everything related even with suits of famous matadors. And that is incredible. You don't even need to go to a museum. But if you want to go to a museum, go to the Sevilla or Ronda. That's a very good example.
Oh, yeah. Jorge, is it true that the news reports of the bullfights is not in the sports pages, but in the culture pages of the paper?
True. True. But not only the bullfighting, it's also about the places or the lands or the people who owns that bunch of bulls. Are they going to be fought in whatever season? And
you know, it's an ethical decision people have to make. My feeling is it's an actual part of Spanish culture. If it was kept alive only by tourists, then I would say it's wrong for me to promote it. But if it's still kept alive by local people, I think it's ethnocentric to boycott it. You can boycott it if you want to, but it's a real thing. And like you said, you can go there and check it out without feeling that you are perpetuating something that's a needless brutality. It's part of the culture. It has a reason. I was just in Granada, you guys, and the waiters were not very polite or friendly in Granada in a couple of places. And somebody told me Spaniards joke about the Grenadine waiters, and they say they don't have blood in their veins, but they have sour milk. What? Now, you're laughing about that, Jorge. What does that mean? It kind of confused me. They said the people from Granada had sour milk instead of blood in their veins.
Well, you have to get into the culture. You have to, one of the things I just tell my people is go inside. If you see a place that is busy, it's noisy, filled with Spaniards shouting to each other like World War III is going to start any minute, that is the place you have to go. Just find an inch at the counter and get your claw out and put your claw there.
That's it. Both of you guys have said you gotta fight for your place at the bar.
Well, it's not a fight per se. I mean, you don't push the others. I mean, that way you won't get anywhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, just get your space. And then magically you see how that inch goes into 2, 3, 4 inches. You have space enough to place your hand there. And then just keep the eyesight of the waiter. All right. The moment you get the eyesight of the waiter, having your lips ready what you want with the please at the end, por favor at the end, and they will give you right away that thing. That's the way it is. If you don't get that because of the language barrier, it's like what we call, especially in the South, like sour milk in their veins instead of blood, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Jorge Roman and Francisco Glaria, and we are learning about Southern Spain. Francisco, another interesting thing when I'm in the South is stag parties, and they call them farewell to singlehood. When you go to Granada, the city can be overrun by people having a farewell to singlehood party. Tell us about that in Spain.
It's like a bachelor party or bachelorette party. And Granada is one of those places that everybody goes. I mean, here, I live all the way in the north of Spain. So what you do is you get together with 4, 5, 10 friends. And obviously you go to a fan city. And Granada is one of those fan cities. So they take you to Granada. And you stay there like 2, 3 days, and it's just a way to say goodbye. You know, you're gonna be married live. It's like, okay, it's just a way to say goodbye. But it's a big celebration, it's a fun thing, and Granada especially is super, super fun. So everybody goes to Granada.
Okay, everybody goes to Granada. That's the fun city. If you want a farewell to singlehood party, or if you just want to have a great time on your vacation, even though a few of the waiters might have sour milk in their blood veins. You can have a good time in Granada. Hey, Francisco Glaria and Jorge Roman, thank you so much for joining us. And we just really appreciate you sharing your insights into your beautiful country, especially the south of Spain.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
You'll find more of our conversations about Spain with Francisco and Jorge in our show's archives at ricksteves.com/radio. His futuristic view of what the internet would become and how it promised to change the world informed his work at the Whole Earth Catalog and as senior maverick at Wired Magazine. But before all that, Kevin Kelly started an enormous photography project as he wandered the villages and backcountry of Asia. Up next, Kevin's back with more on how his 50-year-old Vanishing Asia project documents changes to age-old traditions from Turkey to the Himalayas and Pacific. And we'll also make time to squeeze in a little fresh appreciation for the art of Michelangelo with my original travel buddy, Gene Openshaw.